So after the baby's born, one of the first things that we think about is naming the baby. Very often we're thinking about that even before the baby's born. And I want to discuss tonight some ideas regarding naming a baby, and we'll see that much of this is non-halachic. Much of this is non-halachic. There aren't many actual halachic concerns or halachos regarding naming a baby. A lot of it is minhagim. And a lot of it we'll see there are different minhagim among different families and different practices. But you know, interesting nevertheless. So in terms of the importance of a baby's name, we believe that it's a very significant thing. It's an important thing. It's not something to be taken lightly. And the Gemara tells us in Brachos and Daf Zayin, Minolan d'shma garim. How do we know that the name of a person actually affects who they are? A person's name actually affects who they are, affects their character, affects their quality as a person. Amar Rabbi Eliezer di Amar Kra, Lechu chazu mifalos Hashem asher sam shemos ba'aretz. Al tikrei shemos el shemos. And that you see here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, go out and see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done, that He places names in the world. So you see that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does and the names are related. There's a connection here between what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does and the names and the name that a person has. So you see that shmagarim, as the Gemara says, it's almost like a person's name has an impact upon who they are and who they're going to become. Not only that, but the Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Hazinu says that you have to be very careful when you name your child. Quote the pasuk that we know in Hazinu, Zechor Yemos Olam Binu Shenos Dor Vador, that a person should remember the days of the world, think about the years of each generation, and writes the Medrash, La Olam Yivdok Adam Bishemos Likro Livno Haroi Lios Tzadik. If you want your child to be a tzadik, you have to be very careful what names you're giving them. Because sometimes a name can cause something good or cause something bad. So we see that the importance of a baby's name can have real effects on the life of the child. Now obviously, a child has bechira, just like anybody has bechira, and just because a person has a name does not mean that they can't overcome any tendencies that might be there or any dispositions that might be there, but nonetheless, it does seem that the name of a person can cause certain things, and again, a lot of this we don't understand. A lot of it is in the metaphysical realm, but the name of a person can cause things, and you have to go about it with the proper kovod rosh. So that's just a little bit in terms of the importance and the significance of names, and you know we take it seriously. Yeah.
Does the Gemara or anywhere else discuss? You know, are we just talking about Hebrew names or?
Yes. Yeah. So. Yes, I'm not going to really talk about it too much. I mean, we know from a Jewish perspective, it's all limited to Jewish names. You know, the fact that you have a name on your birth certificate, which might say which might say Stephen or Sam or whatever the case might be, that has no bearing from a halachic perspective. That's just what you're called. The only bearing that it has from a halachic perspective is that Rachmana Litzlan, in the case of a get, then we have to write not only the person's Jewish name that they were given, but any nicknames by which they were called, you know, throughout their married life. But that's really the only halachic ramification that I'm aware of. Other than that, we don't really, as Jews, we're not really misyachis. We don't really deal with legal names, you know, non-Jewish legal names, and we know the importance of Jewish names. Of course, many people give, you know, legal names just because it's easier out in the world when you're working or when you're in school. I'm a rabbi, so it's a little different. But nevertheless, you know, especially in today's day and age, in 2017, nobody blinks when you give them a strange name. You know, I'm only Ephraim. I have no legal name. My parents just gave me the name Ephraim, and I've never, Baruch Hashem, had any problems whatsoever. So of course sometimes it can be easier. You know, I understand in the professional world if you have not a Jewish sounding name. Certainly in the rabbinic world it doesn't matter too much. But in terms of interacting with people that's not really an issue. I will tell you just one funny anecdote. My wife has a legal name, and there was one time when my father-in-law, but she always goes by her Hebrew name, which is Tova. But her, on her passport and her driver's license, it says her legal name. So one time my father-in-law was, I think my sister-in-law had a baby in Chicago, and he wanted to fly us to Chicago for the bris, and he made the ticket. He made the airline ticket. He booked the ticket for us, and he booked it as Tova. That's her, that's the name, you know, that he calls her, even though he gave her a legal name. He forgot, he had a momentary lapse. He forgot about it. And we got to the airport, we had a whole big headache because her passport said one thing and the ticket said something else. Baruch Hashem, in the end, we resolved it and she got on the flight. But, sometimes it can be a little tricky from that perspective. Okay, yeah.
What's the context on the first the source there about the pasuk? Where is that from?
That's a great question. I don't remember offhand. I have to look it up. I don't remember offhand where the pasuk is from. It's not, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's not in the Torah. I believe it's from Nach, but it has a Nach feel to me. But so that much I'm willing to say. But other than that, I'm not 100% sure. But
also, when Hashem created the animals,
mm-hmm.
the Bereshit,
right?
I think He gave each one of them a specific name.
Well, we actually find that Adam gave them names. The Torah says that Adam called them names, but the names that he called them were presumably based on, different attributes that he saw within them, or, it wasn't just random.
Nothing to do with this subject, with naming a baby.
No. I mean, the only thing that might be related to it is that perhaps when Adam named them, and again, the names that Adam gave them are not the names by which we call the animals. Mm-hmm. He didn't say elephant, when he saw that big gray thing. But, but...
If you get a dog, that's what it's like. You have to name a dog.
Yeah. But so the only thing that I can think of is that perhaps when Adam named the animals, it could be that he was, Adam had obviously kochos that we don't have. Maybe he was tapping into something spiritually in the nefesh of the animal that he was able to see things that we can't see. Exactly. It wasn't just, I don't think he was like going through the animal name website, and just selecting at random the names. And that's another, just the last point that I want to mention about this is that it's important, very often... I think that parents, think about the names that they like. I like this name, I don't like that name, I like how it sounds, I don't like how it sounds. And, of course that's important. You want to call your child by a name that you like. But I think it's more important to think about the meaning behind the name and what the name represents and who the name might represent and things like that. And very often, names that we did like or didn't like, will grow on us. Once our child is named that name, very often they'll grow on us and then we'll be fine. I still remember, my youngest sister is Ariella. I don't know why, but when she was born, I believe I was 11, and I didn't particularly like the name Ariella. I don't know why, I didn't particularly like it. And now I have no problem with it. It grew on me, and she's my sister, and I love her, and I love her name, and it's fine. So, I think a lot of times these things grow on a person. It's important to think about the idea behind the name, and the meaning behind the name, yeah.
Aren't you obligated, let's say, in certain instances to name a certain way, let's say, like, if there's a departed parent?
Okay, so we'll talk a little bit about that. Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that, right. That's true. There's no obligations here, right? It's all minhagim. Yeah, there's no obligations. But we'll talk about that right now. So so it's interesting, if we think about who has the right to name the baby, and of course, the right is in the hands of the parents. That's clear. The Medrash in Koheles actually alludes to this and writes Tani Shlosha Shemos Nikru Ula Adam Hazeh, that every person has three names, so to speak. Every person in the world has three names. Echad Shekaru Lo Avi Ve'Imo. That's number one. The name that his mother and father named him. So right there in the Medrash already, you see that it's clear that that the name by which we go, by which we're called. That's the name. That name is given to us by our mother and our father. Right? They have the right to give us that name. V'yechad shekaru lo acherim. Others call us sometimes. We have nicknames or things that other people might call us. V'yechad shekaru lo b'sefer toldos b'riyaso. And up there in the books, we have another name. We have a different name. Up there. So it's three different names. But the point, the reason why I brought this medrash is because you see that echad shekaru lo avi v'imo. That you see that the father and mother have the right to name the baby, and that's an important point. That sometimes pressure is exerted by other family members, by grandparents of the newborn baby, and things like that, that they, you know, they want to, you know, they want a certain name. You know, their parent or their relative passed away, and they want their child to name after that departed relative or whatever the case might be. It's important to recognize that it's the choice of the parents. It's not the choice of the grandparents. And even if the grandparents may have a strong feeling about something, they can, of course, express their feeling, just like they can express any feeling that they want in the right way to their children. But at the same time, they need to recognize that this is their grandchild, not their child, and it's time to let their parents decide on the name. You know, of course, you know, you can have input, but it's their child, and they have the right to decide. In terms of the mother or the father, and this is sometimes you know, a little bit of an issue, especially if you have, you know, the two sides, and each one has a dearly departed, and everybody wants that name. So there are different minhagim. And if you look at the source number 4, and this is Rav Avadia Netshuva in Yabia Omer. So he writes in the name of the Das Kenim Ibalei Atosfos. So he says, if you look in Parshas Vayeshev, it says first Mashenemar Betchila. This is regarding the sons of Yehuda. That Yehuda named Yehuda and his wife had children, and the Torah tells us Mashenemar Betchila. First, it says Vayikra es Shemo Er. First, Yehuda names his son Er, the firstborn son. Ve'achar kach Vatikra es Shemo Onan. And then we find Vatikra that she named him Onan. So you see in the pasuk says the Das Kenim Ibalei Atosfos that the right to name the firstborn lies with the father, and then the right to name the subsequent child lies with the mother. Shemati mipi Mori shekach haya minhagam, and he says I heard that was their minhag. Hu haya kore shem libno rishon vehi koras achar kach shem libno sheni. And he writes, and Rav Avadia writes, that's our minhag. That's the minhag among the Sfardim. V'lochein had tzedek ba'zeh im habal. He was discussing a particular shiloh when there was a dispute between the husband and wife. The husband wants, and again, the Sfardim, they name after a living parent, and I'm not going to discuss that, but the Sfardim, we know, have the minhag to name after a living parent out of kavod to that parent, and Ashkenazim, Yeharik v'al yavor, rechas v'shalom, to name after a living parent. We only name after the those that have departed. And again, those are just minhagim. There's no halachos about it. Technically, if an Ashkenazi would name after, it's not the minhag. It's not usser. There's no isser that you're violating, but it's not the minhag. And of course, because it's not the minhag, so for many Ashkenazim, it's very uncomfortable because it almost implies that something's going to happen. It's people think it's an ayin hara, whatever the case is. So it's very uncomfortable. But we know the Sfardim do name after their living parents. And they take it very seriously, the name after the living parents. And he writes, V'lachein atzedek, where it's underlined, Bazei imabal, likroes haben arishon al shem aviv. Right? So the husband, based on this minhag, quoted in the Das Kenim Ibalei Atosfos, the husband has the prerogative to name his firstborn child after, or his firstborn son in this case, after his father, ki lo mishbat habechora, v'rak haben asheni yikare al shem avi aisha. And the second son will be called by the name of his father-in-law. And that's the way, says Rav Avadia, that's our minhag based on this idea. Now Rav Moshe records that among Ashkenazim, that's not the minhag. Among Ashkenazim, the minhag is actually the reverse. And if you look at the tshuva in Igros Moshe, this was actually an interesting shaila. He's kind of assuming throughout the whole shaila that the minhag is that the woman, among Ashkenazim, the woman names first. Yeah. Okay, and this was an interesting shiloh where Rachmana Litzlan, unfortunately, the child died very young. The child died, I think, even before the bris. It was a baby boy, and the child died within the first few days before the bris. And now they had a second child, Baruch Hashem, that she would live and be healthy. And the woman, you know, wanted to select that name, the second child. And the husband came to her with a taina that this is the second child. It's not the first child. So Rav Moshe is dealing with this shaila. So he writes in source number 5, Hinei bedavar vlad sheneh dar shnei yamim achar leidasa, 2 days, right? Literally, died 2 days after it was born. Ve'ata nolod vlad sheni la'orach yamim v'shanim, right? A new baby is born, the baby should live and be well. Ve'toenes ha'em she'aschus she'yesh la, lefi minag ha'olam she'av lad ha'rishon, yikaru b'shem mimi she'rotza hi mimishpachta. Right? So she's coming with the taina that, hey, the first one comes to me. I'm the mother. First one comes to me. Hu avlad zev ha'av toin she yifsida zechusa. The father says that she lost her zechus. You know, the first one was her zechus. Now it's my turn. So pashulani is daiti. He says, absolutely clear to me. Shad tzedek ito levad. He said, the woman's absolutely right in this case. She yoser notes she haya nefel el afilu im haya yadua she eno nefel vameis. Me is the siba. He says, excuse me, he says it doesn't matter if the child, there was something wrong with the child, and the child's considered a nafel, which means that it was never a viable baby, even if it was a viable baby and it died for some other reason. He says it doesn't make a difference, doesn't matter. Nami lo yifsid eschusa, she absolutely does not lose her privilege, her right. The alzeh vaday raya, he brings a proof to it. The od nir alani is dait, and he says not only that, but he says what happens if you have twins? Benoldu to umim, umisha yatza rishon, so he writes, let's say you have a case where you have twins, and the firstborn, two baby boys, let's say, right? And the firstborn is sick. Firstborn is a little bit jaundiced. So his bris is postponed. The second baby, who was born later, his bris is going to be first. His bris is going to be on time. So the younger child is going to be named first, right? The younger child is going to be named first. So who should name? So he writes, "Shashem Vlad Hasheni Shenikrat Chila Hu Hashem Hashayach La." So he says that she has the right to the first name, not to the name of the firstborn, but she has the right to name first. So since here in this case the second born child is being named first, so she has the zchus to name that child at the bris. He's the younger child. She has the zchus to name that child. The zchus who Al Shem Arishon Afshi Karu Shem Arishon the Vlad Hasheni. So even though the first name here in this case is being given to the second born child, it doesn't matter. It goes by the naming, and therefore she has the zchus to name first, and it's based on that. You know, in terms of the idea of why that is, so the Ashkenazi custom, in terms of the Sephardi custom, so I think some explain it that that generally the firstborn, certainly in a case of a firstborn son, the firstborn son was kind of like the one who would take over for the father. He would come into the father's business, and he would take over, you know, everything, the house from the father. And so it kind of makes sense, you know, with those circumstances in mind, that the father should have the right to name this child. If you look at the Ashkenazi custom, it also makes a lot of sense. Some explain that the woman has a much better sense of the nature of the child, even at a very young age. A woman can sense, you know, what the nature of this baby is going to be, where the father sometimes is just absolutely clueless. So maybe that's why the mother should have more of a right to name the first child. You got to give the guy a chance, so he gets the second child. But really, the zchus really for the first child comes to the woman. So there are reasons to give, you know, for both ways. But it does seem to be an Ashkenazi Sephardi split that among Sephardim the minug seems to be that the father gets the first dibs, whereas among Ashkenazim the mother. Yeah.
That means the name in Hebrew, both names.
Yeah.
People name.
Both names.
The whole name.
She's got the right.
Sometimes, I mean, I know.
Yeah.
When we named my first son,
mm-hmm.
My wife, I didn't know anything. I didn't grow up religious. And my
right.
wife goes, you know, I get the first name.
And you get the second one.
You get the middle name.
She was nice to you. She was nice to you. again, these are all minhagim. If a woman decides that, you know, sometimes you have a situation where the father, you know, where the father's, you know, the father lost a parent or something like that. And the father really wants the name after his deceased parent, and the mother Baruch Hashem has her parents, and she'll say, you know, because hey, go name the child after your deceased parent. So there's nothing wrong with a woman giving up her right, but the point is that it's her right. That's the idea. The minhag is that it's her right to name the baby. If she wants to give her husband, you know, the chance to name the first baby, she's more than welcome to. If she wants to give him one of the names, she'll take one and he'll take one. That's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But in terms of rights, in terms of, you know, if they're, like in these cases, where you have a dispute that actually went to a Rav, you know, Rav Avadya and Rav Moshe dealing with a machlokes among the husband and wife, who should name, if, you know, they feel very strongly about it. So under those circumstances, they have this chus based on the established minhagim. Okay, now in terms of naming after people, so we do have obviously a minhag to name after people who passed away. It's our way of connecting to those neshamos. It's our way of remembering those neshamos. But as an introduction to that, it's important to recognize that not all names were created equal. Right. So, for example, the Gemara tells us, famous Gemara in Yuma, "My v'shem Rishoyim Yirkov." The pasuk tells us that the name of Rishoyim should rot. Right. That's the literal translation of the pasuk. The name of the Rishoyim should rot. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rakvivus Taaleh b'shemo son. Literally. Almost like their names should get moldy. Why? Delo maskinan bishmayu, because we don't name after them. We don't use the names. So the idea of that the Gemara is expressing here is that if you have a Rasha, right, who had a certain name, we don't name after that person. We don't name after a Rasha. Right? None of us would ever chas v'shalom, have a hava amina to name, and even think to name our child Adolf or something like that, some terrible name that was the name of a Russia, we wouldn't even think about it. Right? Even though we know that people who lived, you know, before the war were named Adolf, that was a common name. But none of us now, no Jew now would ever think, no Jew who's sane would ever think to name a child Adolf. Right? It's ridiculous. So too, the same idea goes to any name of Rishayim. And that's why you find that we don't name after Rishayim. You know, you don't find, even though now, unfortunately, it does seem to be, I think among like the more secular Israeli culture, you find very strange names, you know, Paro and Nimrod and things like that, you know, biblical names who were not necessarily good people, but they're interesting biblical names, so they choose them. So that's an unfortunate thing. You know, Chazal were not in favor of that type of thing. You know, we name after tzaddikim, we name after good people. We don't name after Rishayim. Rabbeinu Chananel on that Gemara actually takes a very strong stance and writes in source number 7, She'ein adam nikra bazeh Hashem u'matzliach, that if you name a baby after a Rasha, that's almost like you're sealing the child's fate, that he's not going to be matzliach, that this child is going to be, you know, have trouble throughout his lifetime. He's going to meet challenges. You know, certainly not something any parent would wish upon their child. And so it's something, you know, the Rabbeinu Chananel takes it very, very seriously. It is interesting that you find that, obviously you have names, for example, where Rishayim had a certain name, but other people also had that name. So how do we treat a name like that? Obviously a name like Paro or Nimrod or, something, you know, those kind of names.
Haman,
right? You know, okay, so those kind of names are obvious that they're Rishayim. But what if you have a name, there was a guy who was not a good person, he was a Rasha, but he had plenty of people who had names that were fine. They were either tzaddikim or just regular people, and they had this name. So Tosfos deals with this in Nakamar and Yuma, in source number 8. He deals with the name of Shevna, Shin Vez Nun Aleph, which again is not a common name today, but he writes that there were two Shevnas. V'yesh mefarshim detrei Shevna havu kidechsim b'yeshaya. Leich bo ala sochid azeh, al shevna asher ala bayis. That's one pasuk, uksiv basrei, malach apova gomer, mashma shaya rasha. So there's one pasuk where you have this name Shevna, which he was a rasha, he was a wicked person. Uksiv basrei, vahi kishmo amalach hizkiyo, vahikra, vigomer ad, v'es shevna hasofer, v'es hazkeni miskasim besakim. So there you have a guy by the name of Shevna, who was hanging around with the chachamim. So it sounds like he was a good person. So Elamai says Tosfos Alma Acherhu, that it's, you're talking about a different person. There were two people by the name of Shevna. One of them was a Rasha. One of them was a Tzaddik. And the Echad Yatzaddik Maskinan Bishmein. If there was a guy, you know, if it's a name that's shared by multiple people, so you can name after that. You know, you can name that name because that's not a name that's unique to Rishayim. It's a name that's used by several people, and one of them happens to be a Rasha. Now, what do you do if you want to name after, it's interesting actually, you know, before we get to that, let's, if you look at source number 10, if you skip down to source number 10, so the Ritva there in that Gemara in Yuma deals with the question, how can you have the name? We find the name in Mishnayos and Gemara, Rabbi Yishmael, right? We say every morning in Shachris, Rabbi Yishmael Omer. Rabbi Yishmael, you know, Yishmael didn't have, wasn't known as a great tzaddik. You know, he influenced Yitzchak for the, you know, terribly. Sarah kicked him out of the house because of the bad influence. If you read Rashi on the Pasuk there, you know, he was influencing him in Giloy Arayos and Shvichus Damim and terrible, terrible things. You know, he wasn't a big tzaddik. He was a big Rasha, Yishmael. We know what came out of Yishmael, which is also not good. So why do we have the name Rabbi Yishmael? And nowadays, by the way, we don't use that name, right? I've never heard of anyone by the name of Yishmael, right? Nowadays, we don't name the name Yishmael. Why did we have Rabbi Yishmael? So Tosfos there says, in source number 10, he writes, Pirshu b'Tosfos, Kimashenogu likro shem tzadik Yishmael, kishmo shel Yishmael ben Avram. It's the same name as Yishmael ben Avram, shoya Rasha. Da'ayinu mishum desviralan kemandi amar ki Yishmael asa tshuva. So he says, it must hold. We know that there's an opinion that says that at the end of Yishmael's life, Yishmael did tshuva. In fact, the Pasuk says that Yishmael was one of the ones who buried when Avram died. Yitzchak and Yishmael together buried Avram. So Chazal says, there's an opinion in Chazal that says, based on that pasuk, that you see that Yishmael did tshuva. So he says, if Yishmael did tshuva, so then you can name after him. Right? We don't name after Rishayim who died, in their rishus. But a person who did tshuva, we can name after them. Or he says you could also claim that Yishmael is different. Hinami, the Shani Yishmael Shakarish Baruch Hu Karo Ba'osa Hashem. That was a God-given name. Right? Yishmael was named Yishmael by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore, if that was a God-given name, so you can't prove anything from that name. You know, you don't say that that name is only associated with wickedness because it was given by the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's different. So that's just an interesting thing. Now the Rav Moshe Sternbach in Shuvos VeHanhagos, if you look at source number 9, deals with the question of what if you have a relative, right? What if there's a relative who was a Rasha? Right? If you have a relative who passed away, wasn't such a good person, but you know the family wants the name after him because you know he's still a family member, so they want a name after him. We're obviously not as bad as a Rasha, but if, let's say you have a person who many of us, right, myself included, we have family members who are not religious, right, who are Mechalal Shabbos, you know, things like that. And while of course it's a beautiful thing to name after a tzaddik, to name after someone who was a tzaddik and who was a Talmid Chacham and a tzaddikes, and that's of course a wonderful thing, but they're also family, right? They're also family, so they didn't know any better and things like, you know, so, what's the halacha, what's the minog in terms of naming after someone like that? So the Rav Moshe Sternbach in Shuvos VeHanhagos deals with this question. He deals with the question of a person who was a Mechalal Shabbos. Again, I don't know what he was talking about, if he was talking about someone who was, you know, Mechalal Shabbos, you know, lahachis. He wanted to be Mechal Shabbos, or just a person who didn't know any better. But he writes, you know, that we have this Gemara that says, Shem Roshayim Yirkov, that we don't name after a Rasha. But he says, so he writes, if you look at the first paragraph, skip where he quotes the Gemara, he writes, Aval Nire, Dehainu Shem Mishuna Kigon Doeg Ve'Av Shalom. So he says that Gemara is talking about names that are unique names. Doeg, Avshalom. These are unique names. If you're naming after them, you know that you're naming after a Rasha. They're not common. Avraham, Yaakov, Moshe, V'Aaron, Chadoma. But let's say, you know, this person, his name was Avram, or Yaakov, or Yosef, you know, very common name. Avsha Saba Miskavin, the Shem Zeshel Nechdo, who Al Shem Oviv Shehaya Rasha. Even though, so let's say, you know, let's say my great-grandfather was a Rasha and his name was, his name was Beryl, okay? So my grandfather wants me to name my child Beryl after his father. His father was a Rasha. So what do I do? So writes Moshe Sternbach, very simple. Avia ben Yochel L'chavim la'avo senam ha-kedoshim. Right? I mean, Beryl's not a great example. But let's say Avram, right? So let's say his name was Avram, he was a Rasha. So he says, you know, so you name the child Avram. And in your mind, when you're naming the child Avram, you're thinking that he's named after who? He's named after Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu. Your grandfather thinks that he's named after his father, but that wasn't your intention, right? So you accomplish everything. You appease your grandfather that you name after his father, even though he was a Rasha. And meanwhile, you're in your mind, you're thinking Avram Avinu, and Avram Avinu is great, right? Nothing wrong with that. The tzaddikim shenikru b'shem zeh. He says, no problem. So that's one Eitzah. Right? That's one Eitzah, one suggestion, is that you just have something else in mind. You know, I know of a story once, a certain person discussed this question with me, that they had a child, and there was a little bit of a sticky situation with the grandparents. The grandparents were divorced and then remarried, and this Avi HaBen had grown up with a grandfather who was not his natural grandfather. He was his grandmother's second husband. But, you know, they were married before he was born. And he grew up with this individual. And this person passed away. And the Avi HaBen wanted a name after his step-grandfather. But the problem is, his grandfather was still alive. Right? The divorced grandfather was still alive. And he thought that at the bris, if he would name after his step-grandfather, the grandfather's going to be insulted. You know, it's a chutzpah to the grandfather you're naming after the step grandfather who took his place. So what he did was, excuse me.
Guy's still alive, so not the name after.
No, the step grandfather was Nifter.
I'm saying, but the other grandfather can't have any ties.
No, I know, but he would not want. I mean, they didn't get along, so he wouldn't want, you know, his great grandson's name to be named after his ex's new husband. You know, his family politics. So in that situation, the grandfather that was alive didn't know the step grandfather's Hebrew name, uh-huh. So it's a very simple etza. You name the name, right? You name the name. Don't say anything at the bris, you know, publicly. You tell the grandmother privately that you had in mind, you named after her late husband, you know, her who was the step-grandfather, and you don't say anything to the grandfather, and everybody's b'shalom. So that's what the person did in the end, and it's a similar type of situation.
Eventually he's going to know.
Not necessarily, if it took him this long.
He is later, but he's going to know next week.
Not necessarily. So that's one suggestion, that if you really feel a pressure to name after a rush or after someone who did something wrong, that you can, you know, if it's a common name, you have in mind a big tzaddik, and you name after this person. So that way, at least there's some, you know, the family is happy that you named after this person. But the intention of the avi aben, of the father when he's naming the child, is really for a tzaddik. The other suggestion that he gives is that he says amnam efshar lahosif lo od shem livracha. This is another possibility, is that you can add a name. Add a second name that's a nice name that will give a bracha to this young child. Kimo Baruch, Aryeh, Raphael, Vechadoma, you give a nice name that's Lebracha. She'oz nitztarif lishmo gam shem kadosh. So even though, you know, his name, maybe you're naming after this Russia, so there's something, there's a pagam, there's some sort of deficiency in his name, so you add a shem kadosh to mitigate that respect. So that's those are the two suggestions that he gives in this type of situation. And again, he ends off, he concludes with a very important point at the end. And he writes that, just the last few words, if you read them, ve'ein lo rival ze im ha'horim. Very important, right? Whenever we're talking about names, he says, don't fight about it. It's not kedai to have machlokes, you don't want to fight. So these are ways that you can maybe b'shalom, appease the parents and still, you know, not name it, you know, person who's sensitive not to name after a Russia. These are the two suggestions that he gives. In terms of giving names, we also find a hesitancy to give names after people who died young, to give names after people who met tragic deaths or who died very young in their lives. And we find it already in the Yam Shel Shlomo and Gittin. He writes in source number 11, Achein ha'olam ein regilin likros l'shum adam Yeshayahu. He says, if you look around, you don't see many Yeshayahus. You don't see many Yeshayahus. Ki'im Yeshaya l'chur. People name Yeshaya. Yeshaya, he says, is a very common name. Yeshayahu is not so common. So what do they do? Because Yeshaya is a name in Divrei Hayamim, not the Navi Yeshayahu, but it's a separate name that appears in Divrei Hayamim, the name Yeshaya. Why is it? Why do people do this? They don't name Yeshayahu. Because he met a very tragic death, right? Right? He killed him in a very horrific, tragic way. And therefore, so therefore, people, you know, they want to use the name Yeshaya, but they name Yeshaya, which is the Yeshaya in Divrei Hayamim, and not Yeshayahu. Or, you know, and maybe their intention also is the Navi Yeshayahu, but they did a little shinoi, a little change, just to, you know, because once the name is changed a little bit, so it's not the same, it's not, you know, metaphysically, it's not the same thing. You know, my son's name is Yeshaya also. I remember when we were thinking about naming the name Yeshaya, Aaron Yeshaya. Don't get nervous. Aaron Yeshaya, so it's his middle name. So I remember I discussed it with someone, with a posek, and you know, should the name be Yeshaya or Yeshayahu? So he said Yeshaya is a real name, you know, and that's what we see from this Yam Shel Shlomo. We find another interesting variation of this, that when it comes to naming, sometimes, you know, to change, you know, here like Yeshayahu, so we change it a little bit and we leave off the last vav and we just call him Yeshaya. So we find also the same thing with Akiva, right? We know that Rabbi Akiva's name was spelled Ayin Kuf Yud Vez Aleph. That's how it's spelled in the Gemara, Akiva. But Rabbi Akiva met a very, as we know, a very tragic death, a very terrible death. So the Chasam Sofer writes in source number 12, V'nirali digam Rama mode, dein korin shem ami shelo haya sofo tov. He says the Rama agrees that you shouldn't name after someone who met an untimely or tragic death. By the way, some do distinguish between untimely and tragic. Some say untimely death is, okay, it's not so bad. A tragic death, a horrific death, that's something that we want to avoid. You know, but untimely, you know, everybody has their time that they're going to go. So some people go earlier, some people go later. But tragedy, we want, you know, horror, we want to try to avoid. So that's what he writes. He says the Rama agrees. Umode Rama diyesh lichtov akiva behei besof velo ba'alef. But he says the Rama holds that when you're naming Akiva, you should name it with a hey at the end and not an aleph. I changed the spelling of the name Akiva. Af al gav de kol Rabbi Akiva b'shas be'alef b'sof. Even though every time you see Rabbi Akiva in shas, it's always with an aleph at the end. Mikol makom neisha sarku b'sar b'masreiko shel barzel. Right? They combed off his flesh with iron combs. V'zen nirmas be'alef sheyasa nishmaso b'yechad. He says not only that, but the aleph at the end of his name actually hints to his death. Why? Because Chazal tell us, Yatza Nishmaso Ba'alef, that his neshama left Be'echad. As he was saying, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kin Hashem, Echad, and that's when his neshama left him. So the Aleph at the end of his name hints to his death. So it's even worse. It's even worse there. Alken Kosvim Hei Besof. So therefore you write the name Akiva with a Hei. Shemarames Al Simcha Hanirmas Besof Tevos. The Hei alludes to Simcha. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Or Zarua La Tzadik Ulo Yishrei Leiv Simcha. Okay? And he says, if you look at those, at the letters, at the word, the Sofei Tevos, the last letter of those words, or Zarua La Tzadik Ul Yishrei Leiv Simcha, starting from the word Zarua, what is it? Ayin, Kuf, Yud, Vez, Hey. And Hey is the last letter of the word Simcha. So therefore we change the Aleph, which hints to Akiva, to Rabbi Akiva's tragic death. We change it to a Hey, which alludes to Simcha. That's something good. Kemo Shegila B'chalom L'Rabbeinu Yitzchak Or Zarua. He says that this was revealed to the there's a Rishon by the name of the Or Zarua. So this was revealed in a dream to the Or Zarua, and that's why he named his sefer Or Zarua based on this dream. He saw this in a dream that the pasuk, the end letters of this pasuk. So that's why he called his sefer Or Zarua. So we find this idea of changing the name a little bit. Sometimes people who name after someone who passed away young. We'll add a name, you know, for bracha. They'll add, you know, Baruch or bracha or or Chaim or something like that because they want to add, they want to name after the person, but still they want to add a little something that should be something for good. It should be something good. In general, it's interesting, you know, we find that once names are played with a little bit, once they're changed a little bit, we see the idea that already it's not considered, you know, again in the metaphysical realm. It's not considered that you're naming directly after that person's neshama. You know, once you change it a little bit, you write Akiva with a hey. That's already not the same. You know, hashpa. That's not the same. Impact that naming after Akiva is going to be, which is good. We don't want that impact because he met a tragic end. Yeshayahu, we change it. We leave off the vav. That changes it a little bit. But it's also the opposite goes as well. That sometimes you want to name after someone. Ideally, the way to name after someone is to name the exact name. Right, the closer you name to that person's actual name, the more connection there is between this young child and the neshama of the one who departed. Once you start adding names, and even though I know that there's a minhag that you take two names, you know, this grandfather and that grandfather, which is a fine minhag, but it dilutes the impact a little bit that it has on the neshama. Again, I can't really explain to you how that works or what's happening. But it does seem clear that once you change things a little bit, you add a name, you take away letters, and you move things around, so the impact is lessened. In a case of something like this, where it's a tragic end, we want the impact to be lessened. In a case where you're naming after a tzaddik, you're naming after a relative that was a wonderful person, and you want the neshama to get some of those traits and to connect somehow, then you want to try to keep it as close as possible to that original name. That being said, sometimes you can't. You know, I remember my Rebbe, when I was in yeshiva, my Rebbe told me that Rav Malkiel Cutler, who was the Rosh Hashiva in Lakewood, is named after a Malka. But they wanted a name after his, it's a relative whose name was Malka, and he was a boy, so they named Malkiel. So sometimes you can't. Sometimes, you know, you have a boy and a girl, so you want a name after the person, but you can't match the name exactly. You know, Simcha, Yonah, sometimes you can there's wiggle room to name a boy and a girl the same name. Some names are not gender specific. Most names are, and so it's, you know, but sometimes you don't have a choice. In terms of, and this will, yeah.
So, you could name after two people. Right? Yeah. You can.
You can. Again, there's nothing wrong with it. You can name after two people, but all I'm saying is that you see clearly from the poskim that when you do that, you're diminishing a little bit the impact of the name. You know, we assume...
Diminishing both people.
Correct, yeah. Again, we assume, we take names seriously, so we assume that a name is not just a nice way to remember the person, but there is some sort of a connection, you know, between the neshama of the person that departed and the and this young child. You know, and there's, you know, people take this very seriously, you know, that there's this connection. So we believe that there's a connection. Once you change the name a little bit, so that diminishes the connection a little bit. I'm not saying that it's that there's no connection. I'm not saying that there's, you know, that you totally sever the connection, but it's not the same as when you name the identical name. That's my point. Okay, just the last point I want to talk about.
But it's certainly not worth to have machlokas
over. Right. No. Correct. Right. It's much better not to have machlokas. Correct. 100%. Always better not to have machlokas. Always better. Yeah. The last thing I want to talk about just is the minhag to name two names. It's very interesting. Recently, it's become almost universal to name two names. You know, all of my siblings, we all have two names. My children all have two names. You know, Ephraim Yaakov, Aaron Yeshaya. Everybody has two names. It's interesting that if you go back, there's a lot of discussion about this. We don't have time to go through everything now, but just in a couple minutes, there's a lot of discussion about this. The Noda Behuda writes in one place that he says, if you look, first of all, in Tanakh, you never find two names. Everybody had one name. Yehuda, Avram, right? Avina wasn't his middle name, right? You know, it's everybody had one name. They didn't have many people to name after. Right. So everybody had one name. And even if you look in the times of the Mishnayos and the Gemara, Yishmael, Yonasan, you know, everybody had one name. You know, there are certain examples in Shas that people found. You know, that they have two names, and there's different ways of explaining it. Either they're both names, one of them is a title and not a name. You know, there's a way, but the vast majority, and even in the times of the Rishonim, you look at the Rambam, Moshe, Nachman, everybody had one name. It's really in the times of the Achronim. You know, we're talking now the 16th, 17th, 1700s, 1800s, where the two names became much more popular. Again, why, I don't know, but it became much more popular at that point. To have two names, but it's a relatively recent phenomenon in Jewish history. It's not, it's a relatively recent phenomenon. That being said, there is an interesting Daza Kenemi Bali Atosos, which relates to my name. Somebody told me this. I didn't know about it, but somebody told it to me once. That if you look at source number 13, when Yosef names his son Ephraim, so why did he name his son Ephraim? So the pasuk says Ki Hifrani Elokim, right? That Hakadosh Baruch Hu made me fruitful. But the Dasa Kenim Rali Atosa says there's another level of understanding here in the name Ephraim. Al Shem Avos. He says Yosef was naming after his grandfather and his great grandfather. Why? Avram V'Yitzchok, Shenemar Bohem Efer. Avram Shenemar Anochi Afar Va'Efer. Avram, we know, called himself, I am, right, Afar Va'Efer. So he called himself Efer. Yitzchok Ke Efer Al Gabe HaMizbeach. Yitzchok was almost became Efer on the Mizbeach at Akedas Yitzchok. The Ephraim Mashma, Ephraim, Shtei Afaros. It's double Afer. Double Afer. So one is after Avram and one is after Yitzchak. So you see the concept of, you know, already this, it's an interesting concept of naming after two people. You know, here we have already the concept. I mean, that's in one name, but you see the concept of naming after two people even in the same name. So that's a very interesting, interesting twist. But again, it was only one name, Ephraim, but it was named after two people. But you do find, you know, of course, nowadays you do find this idea of naming two names. Now, is there an issue with naming two names? So there are some. Chazon Ish was apparently very against it. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, I was told, was very against, you know, naming two names. The main objection, it seems, for naming two names is that you can run into problems when it comes to, again, Rachmanel, it's on a situation of a get. Because sometimes when you have a name, especially when a person has two names and the second one is not used, you know, what do you do? Do you write it? Do you not write it? People forget about the name. You know, it is the name. It's not the name. I have a friend who was engaged and he was making up his wedding invitation, making up his ksuba before his wedding. And his wife had a name that she never went by. Nobody called her that name. You know, it was given to her at her naming, but nobody ever called her that name. Even her father, like, he never called her, nobody ever called her. It wasn't on any benchers, it wasn't on anything, nothing. And he got a psak that they should leave it off the ksuba. Because once already they're not calling her by that name, it's not her name anymore. It's gone. You know, nobody refers to her by that name. He's a man, you know, you get an aliyah, so you refer to both names. But a woman, if it's not used, you know, by anybody, then this, you know, he got the psak that it doesn't, it's not her name anymore, from a halachic standpoint. So things can get a little tricky when you have two names, especially if you don't use them. For example, so my Rebbe Reb Tzvi Berkowitz, who's a son-in-law of Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, right, a grandson-in-law of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, all of his children have one name, because that was Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Shita. But he wanted a name after his father. So his father's name was Avram Chaim. So he named one of his sons Avram Chaim, but he calls him Avram Chaim. So if you call by both names, so then that mitigates the problem a little bit. So there are some who object to two names, but it does seem that the general overall minhag is to name two names. And just the very last point in the last 30 seconds is that we know that a boy's name, obviously we wait for the bris to give a boy's name. You can write the name on the birth certificate or the social security documents that they give you in the hospital. You can write the name then so you don't have to have the headache later. It's not a problem. You still shouldn't call the baby by the name, but you know, for technical reasons, you can write the name, that's okay. But we know that the name is only given at the bris. When it comes to a girl, so we know we generally give the name at the Kriyas HaTorah. It's interesting that people think it's a chiyuv. There's no chiyuv for a baby naming for the person to get an aliyah, right? If there are other chiyuvim, then that person should not be getting an aliyah, right? Not necessarily. If there's an extra aliyah, great. Give him the aliyah and let him name the name. But in terms of the actual naming itself, our minhag is to do it at a Kriyas HaTorah, but we don't necessarily have to give the person an aliyah. And the final thing is in terms of the timing. So there's different opinions. Again, there's no clear halacha. Some say you should give the name right as soon as possible. You know, the baby's born Sunday, Monday morning. We're talking about a girl, obviously. Give the girl her name. Why? Because the name is Kedusha. You don't want her to be without a name. Others say you should wait for Shabbos. You know, delay for Shabbos. Sometimes you want to wait for Shabbos because the family's coming in and you can make a Kiddush or whatever, which we'll talk about maybe next week. But otherwise, some say you wait for Shabbos. Why? Because Shabbos is the greatest Kedusha there is. So to get a name on Shabbos, oh, that's unbelievable. That's the best Kedusha. So there's different feelings as to whether you should rush to name the baby as soon as possible or wait for Shabbos. But either way, again, there's different minhagim. Either way you go, you certainly have a Yesh Ami Lismach. Okay. Right. Stop here. Yeah.
Some people, I understand, have three names, but I've never heard of anybody with four.